God, our Father, we bow before you this morning, and I feel my need of you this morning. Father, I ask that you would come and be here with us at this time in this service. Father, I pray that you would be glorified. Father, I don't have anything to give these people. But you do. Your word is true. And as we open your word, I pray that your spirit would breathe life into it. And that you would breathe your spirit upon these people. Father, I pray that you would be here, be the head of this service. We give it to you. And I give my tongue to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wasn't expecting this many people when Mose asked me to share. If I had known that there'll be these many people, I would have maybe considered skipping out, like he said this morning. So, thank you for not reminding me, Mose. this morning, I have a few thoughts I want to share, and it's a little hard to share these thoughts because it's very incomplete. It would take a lot more time than we have here today to do it justice, but we're going to just share a few thoughts here. If you would turn to Colossians, and the thought that I want to draw from this in the first several chapters of Colossians is the all-sufficient Christ. in Colossians 1 and 2, there's some phrases that are repeated over and over again in here, and it's phrases that we don't have as humans. We can't quite grasp. In Colossians 1 and verse 17, it says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." In chapter 2 and in verse 9, it says, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And we see this over and over again. We see that God has put everything into Jesus Christ, and we can't wrap our minds around that. If we think about it, if we took all the waters in the universe, the waters in the oceans, in the lakes, under the ground, in the atmosphere, and we put it in one place, then we would maybe understand a little bit of what all means. But we even if we did that, we would only have all of one thing. And it tells us here in Colossians that God has put everything that is of God, every good thing from God, all of those things, everything in Christ. And so we have, as we look at this, we have a sufficient Savior, a sufficient Christ, a Christ that has everything that we need in life. So let's get into here. Colossians 1, verse 12. through verse 14, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." The first thing that I want us to think about is an all-sufficient Savior, a Savior that has everything we need. In In Him. In verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have that. It is not apart from Him. It is not something that He gives us apart from Himself. But when He gives us salvation, He gives us Himself. And we'll turn to 1 Peter. There's a couple verses I want to draw from there just to make this point in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Christ's death has procured a complete and satisfactory salvation. God was satisfied in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, if you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. In Isaiah 53 and verse 10 and 11, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He, God, shall see the travail of his soul. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God was satisfied. The death of the Lord Jesus was sufficient, and we have a sufficient Savior if we look to Him and if we live in that in Him. The question that that we're faced with is that enough? Is that enough for you and I? We like to as humans we like to help God out and make ourselves a little bit more acceptable so that we can be saved. But God was satisfied with the death of the Lord Jesus, and He is the sufficient Savior for us. In Colossians chapter 1, we'll go back there, in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There again we have that little word, all. It was enough to reconcile all things unto Himself. And if that was enough, if that was sufficient to reconcile all things to Himself, do we not believe that it is enough to reconcile us to God? And in verse 21 and 22, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. There's an interesting thing that I came across recently. Speaking of God being satisfied with the death of Jesus Christ, that being enough, there was when a president is leaving office, he's given the opportunity to pardon prisoners, and it's a good thing. Sometimes there's people that should be pardoned, but sometimes people are pardoned that know they're guilty, and it usually turns out to not be very good, because most of those people, statistically, most of those people end up committing suicide. And I think it's because they know that they're guilty, and they know that their sin was not paid for. The thing that they did, the justice was not brought. But in Jesus Christ, His death was sufficient. It didn't just... God didn't just turn the other way, but God was satisfied. He took away that sin. And I want us to believe that, even as believers, that God was satisfied. It was enough. Jesus Christ was sufficient. His death was everything that God required. In verse 22 of chapter 1, it says that He is able to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. I can't quite wrap my mind around that, because even at our very best, there's just a little bit of self, just a little bit of self-serving, just a little bit of wrong motives tied up in everything that we do. But that is how completely and utterly Christ can save a person. So in verse 22 here in chapter 1 kind of provides a segue into the next point, that Christ is sufficient in our life. After Christ is sufficient in our salvation, but He is sufficient in our life, and if you will, our continued salvation. our need for Christ does not end with salvation, with just being saved from our sins. I'll just read verse 22 again, and then continue on in verse 23. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We'll turn back to Galatians chapter 2. It seems like this was a problem back then, and I think it may be a tendency even today. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. Sorry, that was the wrong that was the wrong reference. I'm sorry. We'll go to here it is. Galatians 3, verse 1-3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? The point I want to draw from that is that never in our Christian life do we grow past needing Jesus Christ. Living in the Spirit. Colossians 2, in verse 6 through 10, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord. When we first turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with our needs, with our problems, with nothing to bring to Him, He tells us to walk in Him in that same way, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That is where we need to find ourselves. That is where we can surrender to God. That's where we can find our identity, is in the fact that we are complete in Him. As we look to Jesus and walk with Him, we draw our life from God. It's no longer me, but it's Christ in me. God doesn't give us a new life and tell us to go be a better person in the world. That's a day by day, a moment by moment, living in Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 30, he spends a whole bunch of time here, earlier in the chapter, building up a case for the fact that that God's wisdom and men's wisdom is not the same. And God uses the things that men think are foolish to confound the wise. And then in verse 30, actually I'll start reading in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's not, God never gives us so much that we can live by ourselves, that we can live this Christian life on our own. But it is walking with Him. He wants to be the same Savior that saved us initially. He wants to be that same Savior, that all-sufficient one in our life. In Christ, there's a new person. The old person is dead. He's no longer living, but Jesus is inside. And the way I like to think about it is that God doesn't give us, when He gives us a new heart, He doesn't give us new software, which that analogy breaks down because He tells us to be renewed in our minds. And then as we go through life, give us software updates. But He makes us a new person, and He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we need is in Him. As if we have, if we run up against ourselves and we find ourselves failing or stumbling or in any way failing in our Christian life, we don't need to just do better, but we need to draw closer to Jesus Christ, because the thing that we are lacking, that we need, if we need love for someone, if we need love in our hearts, we don't need to just do better when it comes to loving people, but we need to draw closer to Jesus Christ, who is true love, who is the source and essence of love. He is the all-sufficient Savior, and He wants to be that in our lives. I don't have a whole lot that I wanted to share, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Him being sufficient in the end, or in our death. And I want us to just think about this as the entirety of our life. Never do we grow out of needing this. In chapter 3, we'll just read down through here. Chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I want to just draw one more thing here before I go into that. If we jump down to verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he has a whole list of things there that he doesn't want to be a part of our life. God doesn't just throw us out and say, go, don't do these things. Go, don't act like this. But he gives us the life of God. He gives us a Savior that goes with us throughout our life, that keeps us from those things. And as we live in Him, as we walk with Him, these things cannot be part of our life. But if we go back to verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. In the end, when this is, whether that be in old age or whether our life is taken unexpectedly, He is our life. And then when He appears, we will also appear with Him in glory. And in Jude, the book of Jude in verse 24 and 25, I want to read these verses yet. Just in closing, this is how complete and how full of salvation that He offers. How sufficient a Savior that we have. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need a Savior. By myself, I cannot present myself faultless before God with exceeding joy. That would be without God. That is fear without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's fear and trembling. And all we can see is our own undoneness. But in Christ, in a complete salvation, He is able to present us perfect before God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life on my own, by myself, making my own way, because I know that I will only mess it up. But Jesus Christ has given us everything that we need. And He doesn't just give it to us, but He wants to live in us. And as He lives in us and we walk with Him, we have those things. God bless you.